visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And on your mark, get set. Let's go conquer a Friday, shall we? I hope that today you are prepared to walk in victory and walk in the joy of the Lord, the peace of God, and walk in fellowship with one another. So, hi, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. You've tuned into the Refresh Radio program here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And if you hear something today and say, you know, that I need to go back and make sure I heard that right, you can turn over to 1510 AM at 10:30 of a morning, or you can tune back in here at WMIE 5 o'clock this evening and catch the rebroadcast. You can also go to the WMIEFM.com webpage, and there is a listen on demand feature. I believe that has moved to the top of the page. I haven't checked that recently, but I do believe that it was shifted towards the top instead of down to the bottom. And type in a date of a program that you are looking for, and click on that date, and it gives you a little submenu there, one of which is Refresh with Bob Arthurs. So, hey, go out and have a great, great Labor Day weekend. I pray that you have a great, safe holiday, and get ready for the fall. Let's finish strong in 2022 here. Let's win some souls to the kingdom of God over the last 4 months. And just like Peter here, no matter how long you've walked with God, that you still position yourself to hear from God on a regular basis. So this coming Sunday morning, we've got Jeff Stout with us. He is from Melbourne originally, and was part of the church that I served as a youth pastor at. I was at what is now known as Lighthouse Assembly of God. Lighthouse was started by Bethel Assembly of God, which was down there on Fee Avenue, and then Lighthouse needed a building, and so they came back to Fee Avenue and rebranded the church, and that's where I used to be at. That's where Jeff Stout came from, and we're looking forward to him being with us. He is a major blessing to the body of Christ, phenomenal when it comes to dealing with youth and dealing with youth pastors and pastors. He is a valuable, valuable part of the kingdom of God, and way more gifted than I am. I got no problem saying that. I think that we need to recognize the giftings of God in one another to a great degree. And so come out Sunday morning at 10:30. No Sunday night service this week. We want you to come and participate with what God is doing. So yesterday I was talking a little bit about where you are, being where you are, and where God could find you. And here's what I believe. I believe that there are people in Brevard County that you should be at Merit Assembly of God. I'm not saying that you ought to leave the church where you are at, if you're at a church, but I do know that there are some people that should be at Merit Assembly of God that would help to accomplish even greater things. We're thankful for what God does help us do, but we believe that we are capable of even so much more. And so I pray that you will be like I was, and that is you would hear from God, and when God says, you know, I'm going to pick you up and place you where I want you and cause you to be established and prosper after you have suffered a little while, that you say, you know what, God's called me to Merit Assembly of God. He wants me at Merit Assembly of God. I'm going to serve at Merit Assembly of God, and we're going to see growth at Merit Assembly of God. Now, you may already have that word from God at your church, and at that case, stay, serve, thrive, be a blessing where you are at. But if you've just made a social decision as to why you are someplace, I want to challenge you to get into the presence of God and hear a thus saith the Lord on where he wants you and what he wants you to do. So again, you're plugged in, You're stable. You're growing. You're thriving. You're being a blessing. You're serving. Hey, praise God. Serve with excellence. Serve with anointing. But I do believe that there are some saints in Brevard County that you have something to offer the body of Christ, and Merit Assembly of God would be a place worthy of your prayerful consideration. So today we're going back to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, we're going to begin reading in verse number 19. It says, "While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.' Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, 'Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?' And they said, 'Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, and was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house to hear words from you.' Then he invited them in and lodged them." Just a quick little announcement. That strikes me as pretty humorous, because Simon Peter is staying in somebody else's house, and he invites these people that he's really doesn't know that well. He invites them into Simon the Tanner's house, and they put them up for the night. So different culture, different day, but it just shows you that the church really should be open to ministering to people we don't know, but people that we recognize that God has spoken to and that God has directed, because God told them, he said, "Look, I have sent the people that are looking for you." That's in verse number 20. "I have sent them." So I have an app that tells me when I get mail. It tells me a little bit in advance. It says, "This is what has been sent to you, and it should arrive shortly." And how I choose to go to the mailbox to pick up that mail is largely determined by who sent it. It shows me a picture. And if I see that it is just a piece of junk mail, then it's an app through the post office. And if I see that I've got just junk mail coming in, I don't necessarily feel highly motivated to go get it. But if it is an important piece of information, then I structure my day in such that says, that's not going to sit unattended. I'm going to get there, and I'm going to receive what has been sent. I believe that it is time that we looked at ourselves and looked at the other members of the body of Christ as those who have been sent by God. An apostle is one who is sent. The closest thing that we have in the Assemblies of God to apostles, as far as an official office, is a missionary. It is one sent by God to a particular field, and the purpose of that is to be a part of the greatest evangelization movement that the world has ever seen. That was why the Assemblies of God was created, to mobilize the greatest number of people to touch people all around the globe and give them the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So Peter greets them in verse number 21, says, "I'm the guy you're looking for. For what reason have you come?" Peter still is processing all of this information. It's not the way that his day was supposed to start out. I'm sure that there was a different agenda on the day. And God shows up and changes the agenda all around. If God does not have the authority in your life to alter your plans and change your agenda and replace it with his agenda and his plan, you need to reevaluate your schedule, because God is the one who does all things well. The New Testament talks about man makes plans, but those plans can change. We make all sorts of plans, but it's God who fulfills his purpose. So the men that Cornelius sent respond. Now, I want to focus on a few things here in verses 22 primarily, that adds to the character of Cornelius. So when we started out, we had a Holy Spirit-inspired declaration of Cornelius' character. Then we had an angel that testified to Cornelius' character. And now we're getting ready to get a detailed list, or a summary list, not an exhaustive summary, but a summary list of Cornelius' character from the people who know him on a daily basis. There should be a consistency between what heaven knows about you and what those closest to you know about you. I heard this term a few years ago. I didn't really know what it meant at the time. A lot of times my initial take on something is one thing, and then when I investigate it, I find out it's something entirely different. You see, I believe that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, and so there should be times that we are able to take control of ourselves, like David did, and say, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." I think I should be able to put some things in some boxes until a later, more appropriate time in order to deal with them. So that was my understanding of what compartmentalization was. But upon investigating, I found that there is a much more hypocritical definition of compartmentalization, and that is this: when I'm in church on Sunday, I am a man of God. And when I go to work on Monday, I set aside the compartment of church on Sunday, and I'm a businessman where anything goes. And then when it's time to go home, I set that aside, and I close that compartment, and I open another compartment, and I open up the husband, the spouse, the parent, the grandparent. I open up that box, and that's who I am. And if there's any contrast in those three, then I just say, well, that's who I am in that moment. I want you to understand something. That philosophy does not line up with the Word of God at all. We are supposed to be the same person. We are supposed to be living under the glory of God in every arena. So you can't be a foul-mouthed, cursing, profane person all week long and then come into the house of God and think that everything is okay. The Bible says that the things that come out of your mouth are actually coming out of your heart. If you are listening, if you listen to yourself and you hear complaining and murmuring and cussing and inappropriate topics and calling people names and all of that sort of stuff, that's your mouth telling your ears, "I've got a heart problem on the inside of me." So I pray that your family, who knows you best, will have a testimony that says, yes, the thing that God has testified that heaven has acknowledged we have seen that on display in our own lives. So I cannot tell you how many times. Now, I'm not a perfect man. Don't pretend to be a perfect man. Still working on the refining process. And those who know me know that I got plenty of warts, and I will make fun of my own warts. I tell you, I got no problem making fun of myself because I know I'm not going to get mad at myself. But there have been a number of times that people have called in after listening to the radio program, and they would get my office manager and say, he sounds so real. And her response is, that's because that's who he is. I'm not here to put on airs or pretense or anything like that. I'm here to do the best job that I can to communicate the word of truth. And that word of truth would be a refreshing oasis of spiritual enlightenment in a world that the Prince of Darkness seems to be wielding a great deal of influence over. So here's what the people that knew Cornelius best had to add to the list. He has a good reputation. He has a good reputation. The people that know him as a good person, as an honest person. They know him as one who is just and one who fears God. Okay, that they know him, that he is a just person. That means he's going to treat you fairly. So let's start there. Treat people fairly. I know some people that are extremely harsh when they deal with other people. I have people in my past who their manner of dealing with me was pretty harsh. I had a couple of baseball coaches that I remember growing up. One of them was my dad, and another one was another player's dad. It was normally dads that were coaching the team. And my dad, his philosophy was, I've got to be tougher on you than I've got to be on anybody else, because I don't want to be accused of favoritism. And so I didn't think that it could get too much more intense than that, until one of the other kids' parents got up there, and he had a great deal more baseball experience. He wasn't a very large man, but he and his brothers all played on the same professional baseball team, not major leagues, but they were in the minor leagues. They knew how to play ball, and they were no nonsense. I don't remember a whole lot of laughing and joking and anything like that. But I distinctly remember them coaching us to be the best ball players that we could be. And I don't remember if the year he was the coach was the year that we won the city championship or not. That was also the year that I had an accident that forever changed my right hand. So I don't remember. But it's not whether or not you're tough or whether or not you're merciful. It's whether or not do you treat people in a just manner. See, I can handle people who are pretty stern as long as they're stern across the board. What we see in America right now is a whole lot of stuff that is not equally applied, equally understood. They don't. A lot of things are contradictory. And that does not give us the comfort of being a person, who's treating people in a just manner. That undermines a society. So they said he's a just man and he has a good reputation. I pray that your spouse brags on you more than you brag on you. I pray that your kids brag on you more than you brag on you. I had a pastor one time, and we had a person in the church that passed away, and he called us younger ministers together. Didn't pertain necessarily to the individual who died, but said, be careful when you're preaching a funeral, because you, first of all, you don't know what happened in the last few minutes of their life, whether they accepted Jesus or didn't accept Jesus. And the second thing he said, so you can't preach somebody into heaven and you can't preach them into hell. There's unless there is ample evidence, you know, you don't, for instance, so to help you understand, scenes, I'm doing a lousy job of communicating this. There was a person who died, and I read the obituary. A very famous pastor preached his obituary as the one of the greatest saints that had ever lived. And after his funeral, it was discovered that his entire life had been a lie, and he was living a double life, had two families. It was just the things that appeared in one category didn't line up all the way through. And so his reputation in heaven was much different than his reputation here on earth. So the other thing is, the pastor that was communicating with us said, is his family knows them, or their family knows them better than you know them. And so they know their flaws. So don't preach that they're perfect, because their family knows that they weren't. So the next point is that Cornelius was operating from divine instruction. Now, I'm telling you that when God instructs you to do something, that carries a different merit than just because you felt like doing something emotionally. Okay? Divine instruction, we should not be like Peter said earlier in this very chapter, not so, Lord. Divine instruction says, God said it to me, and I'm going to walk in obedience. Divine instruction is never flawed. And so they're setting up the stage. I don't believe they're speaking in flattery. I believe that they're speaking actual observation. They were just divinely instructed, and here's what Cornelius was told to do, to summon you to his house. Now, I remember when God spoke to me and said, hey, I want you to do this. Well, I knew of the person, didn't know the person. Didn't know what was going on in their life. Didn't know their name. Didn't know anything at all about them, and I refuse to go and deal, you know, in a negative manner with another pastor and people in that congregation. I don't do that. And so at some point in time, I communicated with an individual about this person, and they knew them. They knew their name. They knew what they were going through. What I didn't know was that God was speaking to them at the same time he was speaking to me, and it ended up being a divine encounter. And so when God tells you to do something, even if you don't know all of the details, I encourage you to ponder it, think about it, meditate on it, and then act on it, because it's divine instruction. And so they were told to summon Peter to the house of Cornelius. And the last thing that they said about Cornelius was this. By the way, a centurion orders you to do something. In those days, you did it if you were Jewish. And then if they told you to do something else, you did it even. Cornelius was not appealing to him from his position as a centurion, but upon the divine mandate that he had been given. And he said, Cornelius is not summoning you to his house to lecture you. He's not summoning you to his house to, you know, treat you badly. He's summoning you to his house because he wants to hear what you have to say. I remember saying, a person saying one time, God gave us two ears and one mouth, so we should be listening twice as much as we're speaking. Now, whether or not that's true or not, I've got, you've got 10 fingers, I got nine. So, but I do know this. We need to be listening to what God has to say. And God's primary means of communicating with the saints is through using a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, a person familiar with the Word of God and the God of the Word, who comes and communicates to us what we need to hear. Okay, let's not be so arrogant that we think, well, I'm not listening to anybody. I tell you, I spend a lot of time talking here on the radio 5 days a week, two or three services on top of that, plus all of the other discussion. And listen, when I get to go to a church service and I get to hear a man of God speak, it's like yippee-ki-yay. I am so excited. I went one time and I thought, what? The speaker announced what he was going to be speaking on. And I was so desperate to hear what he had to say before he made that statement. I couldn't hardly wait. And then after he said that, I hung my head and said, what in the world could he possibly tell us about Joseph that all of us hadn't preached before? And I want you to know that over the next 30 to 45 minutes, the Spirit of God used that man to speak truth into my life that I've never forgotten. It was one of the greatest service encounters that I'd ever been in as far as hearing wisdom that God wanted to impart into my life. Let's position ourselves. The Bible says that in the famine, there will be a famine of hearing the Word of God. Let's make sure that that famine doesn't occur in our lives. You have a great holiday weekend. We'll see you Monday or Tuesday right here on the Refresh Radio
program. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Every step of this race, I have never